The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Hey, this your boy Frank Gore. I'm listening to a 49er Rush. Niners all day. That's brain sits home, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. I love it, man.
It's time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. Here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys on a Victory Tuesday, Wayne. Is that what that is?
It's what it is. Monday nights, you win. You celebrate on Tuesday. It's weird, but it's what it is.
You know, I bought the Homage Victory Monday shirt, which is like I always pack it on my road trips.
Oh, I got to get one.
And so it's clean, but I was like, man, I can't wear it today. It says Monday on it. Gotcha. So I got my Brock Purdy Blitz shirt on, you know, always.
I got the other guy on.
You got CMC out there.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be blitzing back soon. Yeah,
he'll be back. So this is going to be a fun show. First off, I want to thank everybody who's with us. Absolutely incredible game last night. Not as dominating as week one last year against Pittsburgh, but pretty close. Pretty close. Resounding answers across the board, offense, defense, special teams, of just a superior football team than the Jets. And let's be honest, a lot of pundits across the NFL, they have the Jets as one of the playoff teams. They have the Jets as a Super Bowl contender. And to go out and to kind of completely wrap up that game, offense, defense, special teams, I think there was a little bit of a message sent. So, Wayne, what would that message be that the NFL received from the 49ers yesterday?
I mean, well, it's an AFC team, but I mean, I think the Niners wanted to make a statement and say, look, don't let what happened in the Super Bowl fool you. Like, I think that's kind of like the message. And you saw how, you know, guys came back to practice. They came back with a different attitude, new body, new look, you know, from the top to the bottom. Like, the 49ers are out, and you can tell that every game they're going to be standing on some type of business, you know. So, look, they took care of a top defensive team. I never bought into the Jets being good, but defensively they were at least top five, and they handled them. And so, like you said, in my eyes, they dominated the Jets. They were in full control of this game after they took the lead, after being down 3-7, and then they just never looked back. Now, where there's some things that they need to work on, absolutely, you could tell that they're in beginning season form, but right, they still dominated the New York Jets for the whole game, the entire game, straight pure domination. That's my word.
Yeah, I like it because, you know, you got the Shanahan double dip, whatever, where you score right before the half, you waste down the clock, you kick the field goal after the Brandon Ayuk drop, and then you come back out, you score a touchdown to start the second half. And it felt like from that point forward, it was done. Like the game at that point, you know, you just started the third quarter and it just felt like the game was over. You know, whether or not that was the case, whatever. It's just that was the feeling in the stadium, was business has been handled. Let's don't give the ball back to them. No turnovers, no freak plays. Everything's going to be all right. And so that's what's up. So, man, and I do want to say, everybody, so today we get the wonderful pleasure of having Wayne on our channel. Tomorrow, I'm going to be over there. You got to go check out the Wayne Breezy across all platforms. That's what's up. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. All that fun stuff. That's going to be a good time. We got a couple super chats here. Let's jump in. What's up? Vincent knows Vegas. Love it all. Statement win. Drafted Jordan Mason weeks ago for my fantasy team. I got to be honest. I'm out tailgating, having a good time. That's when the news drops of the inactives and Christian McCaffrey's a scratch. And so everybody's like panicking. And I'm like, not me. Jordan Mason, bloop, 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 bloop. Put him in the lineup. Won by like 15 points. I'm all good there. Let's talk some CMC. Let's talk some Jordan Mason. And we'll kind of bracket this conversation. Let's go to Kyle Shanahan. Shout out to the great Juan Salas for getting these clips ready. Here's Shanahan talking about the Christian McCaffrey injury.
Just the same stuff that was bothering him all week. There was a little too much today. Game time decision. He came in, just talking to him about it. It was still there. Thought it was going to be smart to keep him out, and glad we did. No, he didn't have a setback. I mean, it was on and off throughout the week. He was able to practice throughout the week. Just it was always bothering him to a degree. And sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it comes back. And today was bothering him a little too much to where we didn't feel good about it.
So, CMC, everybody starts to panic. It's funny because I have like my emails and my DMs are like, oh no, we're going to lose. Oh no, we're going to lose. Like people just upset about how all of whatever. But man, I don't know. What's your take on this whole Christian McCaffrey injury? Do you think he'll be back this week? Do you think he's one more week out for the divisional game? How do you assess this, Wayne?
I don't know. Like it's tough. It's an injury that doesn't really. I don't know. Kyle Shanahan said that Christian McCaffrey came to him and said he was sore, but that somebody lying about something. Like that's just who I am. Something's not right. Like it just doesn't make sense. But anyway, as far as Christian McCaffrey is concerned, I think he'll be healthy soon. And then he'll be back ready to dominate the league. The good news is it gave Jordan Mason the opportunity to prove that he can handle a workload. And so we've never seen him handle a full workload. Actually, I think he had the most carries for a 49er running back like since in this Kyle Shanahan regime. And so I thought he was being overworked a little bit. I'm like, yo, mix it up. Yeah, give somebody else a touch or whatever. Because if Christian McCaffrey's injury is something more significant, you don't want to overwork the guy that's replacing Christian McCaffrey. You want to make sure he's going to be great and durable. So I loved everything that I saw about Jordan Mason. What a find. Anthony Lynn found a running back that was going to be rough and tough, and that's what Jordan Mason is giving the San Francisco 49ers. And I feel like Kyle is just enamored by the guy who can get hit and carry three people and fall for 3 yards, you know? And so I think that's pretty cool. And I messaged Kyle Brandt. Like, I just added him on Twitter. I was like, dude, you got to find every one of his runs should be an angry run candidate. He was like, he's running hard, but he doesn't have that one play yet. So I didn't get a chance to watch Good Morning Football to see if Kyle Brandt decided to put Jordan Mason on there. But I'm like, bro, he was carrying 11 bodies, man. If you can carry 11 bodies and get 7 yards, angry run, hands down.
I love it, man. And, you know, it's funny because you talked about overwork. I don't know if the broadcast picked up on this, but there was one point where Jordan Mason came out of the game. He was like, man, I need a breather. And so then they send in Isaac Garrido. This is like fourth quarter. So he's in the huddle. And then there was a timeout or something. I don't remember. A penalty. And then they swapped him back out. So
yeah.
Isaac Garrido got out there on the field, but he didn't get a run of play. And it was like, oh, we're going to get to see the oh, never mind. Back to Jordan Mason. It's just the way it goes, man. You know, and I got to say, I've been on this Mason hype train. I know Wayne's been on the Whit Mason hype train. A lot of people have just because he's looked so good for so long. But, you know, me being – I like Georgia Tech quite a bit. I almost committed there to go there. I was going to be a walk-on preferred whatever. But so I always had a little Georgia Tech love in the back of my heart, even though I never went there. So I was big on Mason from the start. And I feel like a lot of people are like, man, what do we do with this? moving forward. Let's assume that, guess what? CMC comes back and is healthy. Let's go real quick back to Kyle Shanahan. Quick clip, just talking about Jordan Mason. And the question I want to turn it over to you is, has Mason earned more of a role when CMC is healthy?
Runs like he always does. I mean, when you get him the ball, he breaks tackles, usually gets more than we block for. When we had the good lanes, he always hit them and got a bunch. But JP was awesome today.
So, Wayne, does Mason deserve more? He does not.
It's not about him deserving more. It's just he won't get the opportunity. Like, if Christian McCaffrey is back, that's the guy you're paying to be the guy. If he's cleared and he's healthy, that's the guy you go with. Christian McCaffrey can't go, then you're lucky that you have a back that you can rely on and that can do things his own kind of way and be productive. And every week's going to be different. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Mason is going to struggle, but there's going to be different defensive fronts that we're going to. My first key to victory was run the ball. Like, you can run the ball on, you can run the ball up the middle, you can run the ball to the outside. They have two defensive tackles and you run the ball. Because if you stretch them, they're going to get tired. If you run up the middle, especially to Javon Kinlaw's side, he ain't going to tackle. So it was clear. But what happens when you play a different type of defensive front, a different type of this? So does Jordan Mason, like, get more of a role? I think Kyle should definitely split, you know, some of the carries and give him a percentage of it. But when Christian McCaffrey is there, he's your guy. He's the guy you're paying. Because, again, he's the matchup nightmare. There's a lot of stuff that they couldn't do with Jordan Mason that they didn't have to do against the Jets. But I guarantee you, if Christian McCaffrey was there, it would have spread that offense out a lot more. And you heard Brock Purdy say, hey, Jordan Mason was great, but we miss Christian McCaffrey here. We miss Christian McCaffrey and a couple of things. But Jordan Mason played phenomenal. Like, so there's different things that Christian McCaffrey can do that, to me, helps elevate the offense. Mason elevates the offense, but it's just in a different way.
There we go. And I'll say this, like, I hope that in certain roles, if he showed nothing else, if the Niners are up 2 scores, you could trust Jordan Mason to go out there and get those carries late in games, you know, to close. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, the closer, straight up.
And I want to see that. I love the physicality that he continued to bring and just, man, just a thumper. Now, I do got to say this because a lot of people, the biggest reason why people have said Jordan Mason hasn't played is the pass protection, which that is a legitimate concern. However, in this game, he had 5 pass pro snaps. He recorded the highest pass blocking grade for any 49ers player on offense, higher than all the linemen, higher than Kittle, higher than everybody. So, as the game elevates, yeah, you are limited because he doesn't have the wiggle and the routes and all that stuff. I know he caught 1 of 1, but CMC he's by himself completely. Now, speaking of by himself, shout out to my man, Jack Cooley. Appreciate the bow tie and the super chat. He says, all pro fullback Kyle Juszczyk caught 2 passes for 40 yards, critical in both rushing touchdowns. All hell, the Polish Punisher. Let's go, baby. Kyle Juszczyk, I thought by far one of his better games. PFS scores would agree with that, especially that wheel route, that little fullback leak out of the backside. It was nice to have a quarterback complete it, but it's always incredible when you see a fullback kind of switch his whole body around, secure the catch on a deep ball. What'd you think of Juice?
I never understand why he's not utilized it more. I don't get it. It never made sense to me. The 1 year where he was being paid to be utilized, we saw everything that he can do, and then it was just, now go back to blocking, lead blocking out of the backfield. We don't need you anymore. And I'm just like, bro, if you just unleash a little juice every single game, it will spark the offense. And so, Jack, I would like to see him utilized every single game, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5 targets or 5 plays where he can be an impact. He's an impactful player, you know, especially in the pass catching game. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more juice, especially since I think this may be his last year here.
Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids Become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ooh, you think so?
It's tough.
I hope one more year with him taking so much less money. I feel like next year's like doable, but yeah, we got to see because some changes are going to happen. And for those changes to happen, shout out to my man JP. He says, "My brothers, why did no rookies play on defense? What are your thoughts about Renardo Green, Malik, all those guys?
They didn't need them. They didn't need them. DFF had a great game. George Odom was all right, but he played well enough. Like at the end of the day, the rookies weren't needed." And then you weren't going to put them out there. And plus, I think part of it is just the experience with Aaron Rodgers. You got to remember there was a time where Aaron Rodgers was like converting every single third down and the Niners defense couldn't figure it out. But then Nick Sorensen adjusted. I think he made the proper adjustments, got the guys in the proper whatever after they gave up that touchdown to Breece Hall, 3-yard rush touchdown. And then after that, they adjusted. So I don't think the rookies I don't expect the rookies to play much this season, like, to be honest, unless they're needed. But yeah, like, it's okay. But Renardo Green was phenomenal on special teams, which is where he and Malik Mustafa belong, making plays at this moment until they get their opportunity. John, like, opportunities are gonna come. This is football, but they weren't needed at this moment. There were no opportunities for them.
I agree, and just allow them to experience. Pooney's different. Pooney is a different human being, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about him.
He's more of an old soul. Like, he's been here before or something. He's been in the league.
That's what it looks like. Shout out to my man, John. Look at the super chat. Appreciate it. He says, "Were you concerned about the trips to the red zone that only amounted to field goals? Kyle continues to be conservative, or is that just first game of the season?" Wayne, kind of what's your take on that? If we look at just the team stats.
They were 2 for 5, right? And yeah. So that's bad. That's terrible. But there's context behind it. There were a bunch of penalties, dropped touchdowns, passes. Like, there's context with it, right? I thought Kyle, if there was only – I don't get Kyle playing conservative. I didn't get that. Is conservative because we settled for field goals opposed to going for it on – that fourth down when we were going to go for it and then Trent needed the IV and we can't, and then we decided to kick the field goal. I just didn't get conservative. I think that the game was comfortable. I don't know. I just look at all the bright side. Like, Jake Moody was hot, so why break it up? Hey, like, let's let this kid kick 18 field goals if he can. You want to build confidence, that's how you do it. I mean, and so, like, Moody came in, kicked a couple of 50-yarders, one banked in, right? And so, if your kicker is hot, you rock with your kicker, you were already up. It didn't make any sense to going for it and having your defense come back out on the football field. God forbid anything could have happened at that moment, because it's just anything could have happened. So why chance it? Give your kicker the opportunity, come in, kick it, live for the next series. So I didn't get conservative from Kyle in this game. I got I thought Kyle did some dumb stuff or had some dumb play calls. I didn't get conservative. I think Kyle was trying to dial it up, and players didn't make the best of certain opportunities out there, and they had to settle for field goals.
Yeah, and so, and I think a lot of people were upset by the 4th-and-1 call.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, Trent Williams pulled himself out of the game right
there.
He
wasn't in there, yo. I'm sorry. I know people think we can get a 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak, which the Jets were going to be more than likely prepared for. But when Trent's not on the field, do you really want to run that like play? Even if you're not running to Trent's side, they know. Like, I wouldn't have done it without Trent. Like, not that play.
Right. And, again, you got to remember, we were up 13 at 4th-and-1. So you kick the field goal, you're up 16. They have to score two touchdowns and a two-point conversion, which you already stopped them once on that.
Correct.
Like, they've been terrible. You got a third down stop on one, your 3rd-and-1 stop. You got a 4th-and-1 stop. Like, they've been so terrible at short yardage because they couldn't run. They were completely one-dimensional. They had like 31 yards rushing at that point. So, and again, this goes back to my coaching, you know, philosophy. When you have momentum, never give momentum. I'm not saying you shouldn't have went for it there or whatever else. But if you go for it and don't get it, those tides turn.
But I think they were going for it. So here's the thing. They were going to go for it.
But then Trent came out.
And then Trent came out the game. So I wouldn't consider that being conservative. Kyle was going to be aggressive. Kyle has zero problems when he knows he has his sure guys out there. When your number one sure guy is not out there, I think you kind of say, you know what? Moody's kicking. Let him go ahead and get this chip shot. And you use the mathematics. That changes the game. It forces the team to have to do certain things on the opposite side. Like, all right, man, we got to get 2 touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. So it just changes the game a little bit. A touchdown would have put a dagger in the game, but a field goal was kind of like sealing the game.
Yeah. I thought that they played well. You scored 8 consecutive drives. Like, that's crazy. Let's go to Shanahan real quick. 8 consecutive drives with points scored.
You don't really have expectations like that. You just try to score every time you get the ball, and I don't expect to go 3 and out ever, but it still happens. So I didn't know that we did that until they just told me, and it kind of made sense that I don't remember seeing Mitch very much, and so that did make sense. Not having Christian is huge, but you know, we've got a team that really commits to running the ball. We got 10 guys out there who block for whoever the running back is, and we got some running backs and some receivers who know how to lower their pads and run the ball too.
And that's just the efficiency, right? And so, like, in the past, last year, when Debo's out, when Trent's out, when Ayuk's out, oh, the 49ers offense kind of stifles and it struggles, and you get that 17 point. Like, in all the games we lost, it was like 17 points. Even in the Super Bowl, we had like 19 points, you know, going into the end of the, what's it called, regulation. So the fact that you had a couple guys out, well, really just one CMC, but let's talk Ayuk, okay? Oh, let's go sure. Here. Tell me what your thoughts were on Ayuk's overall performance and how you kind of grade that.
I mean, overall, he didn't perform well, but, I mean, he had 2 drops. In my opinion. And so the first one, and it, to me, they both were on Brandon Ayuk. So the first one, people say, oh, Sauce made a play. Nah, Sauce didn't make a play. Sauce made the play because Ayuk didn't bring the ball in. So y'all, this fan base is so freaking biased, because when Ronnie Bell did that and they ruled it as a fumble, they didn't rule it as a fumble, they ruled it as an incomplete pass. Oh, Ronnie Bell didn't bring the ball in. And this was preseason. We talk about this preseason right here. And the same thing happened with Brandon Ayuk, and it's just, oh, no, Sauce made a play. Nah.
No, I just finished the breakdown this morning. I'm loading it now. It'll be up later on the Patreon. That thing went through his hands. He caught the back end of the ball before Sauce was even close to it. This was all on Ayuk.
I just want us to be more accurate and consistent, like, with our evaluation. So I know Sauce is a great guy. I know he's one of the best DBs in the NFL. But if Ayuk would have just brought the ball in, that was a catch, secured the catch, get down on the ground, live to the next play. That right there was a drop. Then he caught another pass on the same drive. Big catch, had to go up and get it. I think a lot of people are frustrated with the touchdown drop. I don't know about you, but people keep saying that was a dime. So like let me just it was a good throw, but it wasn't a dime because a dime is a perfect pass, right? And so like here's my thing.
It was like right here.
Nah, he dove. He had to dive for it. So if it was that, it would have been a dime, right? If it was right here, it would have been a dime. But he had to dive. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't have caught the ball, but the ball wasn't a dime because Brandon Ayuk had to still dive for the ball. It was it made the catch more difficult. Now, does Ayuk catch that pass? Absolutely. But the way that Peyton Manning was ripping Brandon Ayuk and how he needed to be in camp, Peyton, shut up, bro. Like, everybody is so funny when it comes to stuff and their money. Like, everybody, it's okay for everybody to get their money, but not the wide receivers, not the other players. Peyton Manning, I just wish he kind of would have kept certain things to himself other than the fact that Brandon Ayuk should have caught that pass. Other than that, there was nothing else to say about it. Brandon Ayuk should have caught that pass. Did it have to do with his chemistry? Could have been. But again, he was covered tight, and he dove for the ball, and he just didn't reel it in. So that's just something that Ayuk's got to figure out, which he will. There's going to be a game where Ayuk probably gets four touchdowns and people aren't going to remember this. And then they're going to be all on his nut. But you know what I'm trying to say. Like,
Keep going.
Yeah.
My thing is this. If you got to back it up.
I said that he should made that catch, first of all. So that's the first thing. But it's not a dime is when the ball is right there. That's a dime. It was a beautiful pass. It was a catchable pass, but he still had to dive. So it would have been a spectacular catch had he caught it, right? So there's a difference between spectacular catch, dimes. We got to be better with our language. I think our language and definition of the language is off. I thought it was a great pass and a great attempt for a catch, and he couldn't reel it in. He couldn't reel it in.
He played – we look at the snaps – he was the 18th of 21 rated players. 21 players played on offense. He was 18th. He had a 57.8 grade. Played 43 out of 72 snaps, his lowest. And my thing is this. Trent Williams was in the same situation. They signed relatively same time. But Trent Williams goes out there and plays like a dog, like Trent Williams always has. So Ayuk, he held out. He missed all that time, just like Trent. He didn't answer the call. He came out, did not look good. Multiple drops. I can think of no time in his career he had two drops. No, the Cleveland game, he had, I think, two or three drops in that Cleveland game, but it was raining, but whatever else. So, like, that's – and again, in the stands, fans were pissed. Fans were pissed. And all of them were saying, man, we should have gave all that money to Jennings. And, like, you just – like, I was just, like, observing, you know, like a fly on the wall. And it was just, man
– it's so tough,
people are not ready to forgive this man. If he would have caught those – would have been different, but
I just want to remind everybody that Nick Bosa was trash last year.
I wouldn't say trash.
10.5 sacks. 10.5 sacks is trash from Nick Bosa. That's the problem. Everybody, we got different standards for everybody. Nick Bosa held out and did not look like himself, didn't even get a sack in the first game, and it took him a minute to get into some type of football shape. Now, we could blame it on scheme. Steve Wilkes, whatever, fine.
He said that on this show last year, though. But we were like, look, this is the issue.
But and so to me, he wasn't himself. So when I say trash, he wasn't himself. Just like Brandon Ayuk was trash in this game. He was trash. You're terrible, right? So I'm consistent with my words. I'm cool with calling players that aren't being themselves or putting up their performances trash. And did it have something to do with training camp? It could have. It absolutely could have. But you got to give him time. Like I know he's getting paid $30 million. Nick Bosa was getting paid, and Nick Bosa was getting paid too, but he wasn't producing. And so it took him a minute to get back into some type of a rhythm. I remember this being one of the issues that we were like, yo, are these players going to be able to come back? I was like, nah, Ayuk should be good. But he was also covered like by one of the best DBs in the league for the majority of the game. And when he finally started running routes, he was open.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And a lot of it, too, like Sauce was doing business on a lot of people. I mean, Sauce is pretty damn good. There were several
times. He's good, John. Like, I didn't know he was good like that.
He's good. He's really, really good.
And I don't like bigging him up, but damn.
See, I've got a little bit more anger because you had Sauce and Charvarius Ward kind of going back and forth a little
back
bit.
Back and forth.
And so then I'm like, man, Ayuk, go to your, like, answer for your guy. Like, and I felt like he didn't do it because every time Sauce was on him, nothing was happening.
Was it four targets? No. Because I want to go over his targets. Because if I'm not mistaken, he was only targeted four times, I can't remember.
I'm pulling it up now. Sauce Gardner against Ayuk, one target, zero receptions.
It was only one target.
They didn't even test him, but he was blanketing him. I'm telling you right now. Like, I mean, dude was shut down. And even whenever he guarded Debo, shut down Debo too.
I love this chat. Bobo said Bosa definitely would have caught that pass. Bosa would have caught that pass. Look, all I was saying about the pass was like it was a nice pass, but I don't see it being. Maybe I just don't know the definition of a dime, because if it was a dime, my receiver wouldn't have had to stretch. Brock Purdy placed the ball only to where his receiver can get it. So then it was up to Brandon Ayuk to go get that ball, and he just couldn't reel it in. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's change this and let's go to this then. Who on offense are two or three of the players that you thought were some of the best players on the field for the 49ers? Like, who are two or three guys that stood out to you as like, man, this guy absolutely performed?
I'm gonna start with the offensive line. I thought Dominic Pooney was an absolute mauler. I feel like we haven't had a mauler on this offensive line since Alex Boone, Mike Iupati, like those guys. The Pooney is a mauler. And we ran the ball severely a lot. And I think running the ball with Pooney was the biggest issue, right? It was like, he's not a great run blocker, great pass protector, not a great run blocker. And then he proved that he was probably one of the best run blockers in this game. So I thought that was great. I thought the offensive line overall played relatively great. I thought they were B plus, A minus, in my opinion. They only give up eight pressures, bro. Eight pressures, no sacks. Against that defense. Now, we knew that the defense was
Quentin Williams, Dave. Like, for the longest time.
That's what I'm trying to say, bro. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. And that was a guy that they had to find a way to, like neutralize. Like, they had to figure out how to get Trenton Williams done. Now, did it help that they didn't have a Reddick to prepare for? For sure. But we knew that the Jets weren't going to blitz. And the only time Quentin Williams' name was called was on the pressure that our guy, Colt McKivitz, gave up. They lined him up on the outside opposed to inside. And that's how great Pooney was playing. It was like, yo, man, Quinn was like, I can't win on Pooney. So put me on the outside and let me see if I can get in on Colton. He got the pressure there. And so, look, I thought overall the offensive line was great. When I look at the offense, man, I know a lot of people might not give this guy his flowers, but Deebo Samuel was just the pulse of the offense. He had the most, nine targets, five receptions. And you want to talk about a pass that if Brock would have placed as a dime? You want to talk about dime pass? If Brock would have placed that ball in front of Deebo Samuel when he had the nickel back on him, Deebo would have walked into the end zone.
That's when he started complaining, right? That's when he was doing that. And then he had two penalties right after that.
Two penalties. But then scored the touchdown.
Yeah, no, I thought that the chemistry between Brock and Purdy, or between Purdy and Deebo,
it's growing, right?
It took a minute. I was texting Vicky sitting, and she was like, they need to go in the blue tent and hug it out. Like, she's like, they gotta hug it out, and they come back out, they'll be all right.
But the cool thing is, it's not like Deebo was like upset. Like, it was a smile, right? And so, like, first of all, Deebo was fun the whole game. I think I got nervous. Okay, let me tell you how dope Deebo was. No, because you need to know this. He injured not one, but two defensive backs. We're talking DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner. Both of them cats said, I'm not coming back in the game. Like, I'm just not. On the top of that, I thought Deebo had a groin injury at some point. He got hit.
Yeah, he was on the ground for a minute. Like, I know it cuts away on the broadcast, but he looks up and he sees the Jet defender down, and he just gives a thumbs up and just laid down next to him. He's like, as long as he's rested, I'm resting.
I'm going
to
rest too. You can't tell me the energy from Debo isn't what the San Francisco 49ers need. And I saw that. And the only thing I didn't like was that I felt like they were starting to force the ball to him. And they knew Debo was going to get the ball. They knew Debo was going to get the ball. So I thought the good balanced mixture between him, Jordan Mason, who's obvious, like, was the best offensive player out there, Mason, Pooney, and then Debo to me, you know. But you had some great catches from Juwan Jennings, great catches from George Kittle, a nice first down catch from Brandon Ayuk. You could think he had two of them in this game, maybe just one. But yeah, overall, those were a couple of players that I thought really stood out offensively.
Yeah, and man, Juwan Jennings, like, good Lord. Just any time you're like, man, this is a big play, we could really use something, Juwan Jennings, just first down. It was like second and 20 something.
Second and 19, bro.
And it just didn't matter. It was just simple and just right over the middle against that, again, cover two, and Brock Purdy just sitting there. And I think two of the players, you know, if we look at just the PFF scores, okay, for offense, Brock Purdy was number one, 89.6, just so clean, such a clean game. Trent Williams, two. Pooney, three. Juwan Jennings, four. Colton McKivitz. Now, let me say this.
72 snaps, though.
Played all the snaps. He's an Iron Man. He never misses time. I walked away from the game being in the stadium thinking Colton McKivitz was terrible.
Penalties, John.
The penalties were rough. He had two. Him and Debo both had two.
And then he gave him two pressures.
And two pressures. The run game, though, Colton McKivitz was awesome.
I'm trying to tell you.
Was awesome.
That's why I kept saying, like, yo, the offensive line was good. Like, it was, look. Man. If it wasn't for those penalties, McKivitz, and they were dumb penalties too, right? Well, all of them are dumb, but if it wasn't for those penalties, like, McKivitz overall probably would have been graded right there next to Trent Williams, maybe even higher.
He had a higher, run blocking grade. McKivitz had a 77.4, Trent had an 81, Kyle Juszczyk had an 86. Those are the three highest. And so, yeah, the two misses by McKivitz, they're like, you know, McGlinchey-esque bad, where it's just like, ooh.
We got pushed back. Again, it was Quinnen Williams. So when you take a interior guy and put him on the outside, you gotta use a different technique. Like, you got to have a different way to anchor. And I thought that was the first one. So that was the first one. On the pressure he gave up, which forced an incomplete pass. We not, Sonya, I promise. But
Sonya's amazing. She says, stop trying to get me to like McKivitz. I'm not trying to.
I'm not trying to.
I was mad. I walked away after watching the tape of the first half only, and I was like, all right, I get it.
I was mad. We were all mad, but I was more upset, not even from the pressures he gave up, because it's not like he gave up pressure. He didn't give up. Like, they didn't hit Brock Purdy. They didn't sack him. They didn't do anything. It was just it forced Brock Purdy to speed up the throw or whatever. And I think my issues, though, with McKivitz was stalling drives because he would get a penalty. And it was just like, dang, they got to dig themselves out of a hole. But I say that to everybody when Trent Williams does it, Aaron Banks, anybody. I'm like, dang, dig a hole. We got to leave those penalties out. So if he can correct that, I think McKivitz is going to be just fine. And the worst offensive lineman, in my opinion, was Jake Brendel.
100%. Fact. I mean, the dude had a tackle.
It's just good. He's just not going to be good.
He had a 28.1 pass blocking grade.
He's serviceable, I guess. I just don't ever expect him to be good.
I counted three plays where Dominique Pooney was blocking two players at once. Yeah. All three of those were because of Jake Brendel next to him.
Okay. I got you. I can't wait to watch this film today. Oh. This is going to be unfun.
Oh. All right. Now, we're going to jump over to the defensive side real quick. But before we do, real quick word from my bookie.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California,
Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Now, I'll say this. We went, we pushed in week one with all of the bets we post. So we broke even, which, you know, take that. Hopefully we do a little bit better this week. Let's go to the defensive side of the field. Who are a couple guys that stood out to you, Wade, for the 49ers?
I know they might not have graded well, but I really love the addition of Malik Collins. The Jets could not run up the middle. And that, to me, is key for the San Francisco 49ers moving forward, especially when they got to deal with these bruising type of running backs throughout the season. If you lock that middle down, you're forcing these guys to get to the outside. The linebackers were all over the field. But I thought, me personally, I thought the addition of Malik Collins was amazing. He ranked 10th in far as grade with a 59. But I'm telling you, man, stopping that run was crucial. And he was definitely there doing that. Fred Warner obviously is the guy that this team like builds and prides themselves off of. Like, Fred Warner is the staple of the 49ers defense. There was a play like in the fourth quarter where this dude was still out there and diving and trying to tackle people. Like, I'm like, Fred, you don't stop flying in the air, bro. The game's over. And they actually scored on that drive, which is funny. But
all our starters were out there still.
I'm trying to figure it out to save my life, but whatever it is, what it was. So Fred Warner, Malik Collins was a guy that stood out. And then last but not least, like, I know a lot of people are going to, you know, give Diamador Lenore, like, he didn't play his best game, but it was just like, but he was all over the field. And I think he was over anxious, overzealous, over pursuing, he was just over. He was playing like how Fred Warner does when he has to overcompensate. So I thought Lenore was overcompensating a lot. I would like, he's got to get better at that. But you saw Fred yelling at him on a couple of plays, but I still liked him. I still liked him out there. I loved his energy. He's just got to learn how to control it. He's still one of the guys out there that can get the job done. So those would be three defensive players. Even though Ward had a better game, graded wise, I still like the fact that Lenore was all over the football field.
He's everywhere. And, I mean, the biggest play that he gave up was that slot fade to Garrett Wilson. He was right where he should be. And, like, look, man, as a coach, perfect pass, perfect catch, beats perfect coverage. And he was there. Like, they've got good players, too. That's a borderline all-pro player that's getting the, you know, Garrett Wilson's for real. So, like, they're going to make plays. But you got to make them as hard as they can. And that way they're not replicated. And I felt like that's exactly what the 49ers did. The Jets offense just felt completely, especially in the first half. I think they had 3 3-and-outs. They had the one play turnover drive where Fred Warner knocked it out, and then the touchdown drive. That was it. They had one drive, and it was a bunch of penalties and whatever else. That's the way it goes. But you make it so difficult. And whenever, did you see Garrett Wilson after the game where he's like, yeah, they kicked our ass.
They kicked our ass, yeah.
They kicked our ass. So, like, whenever you've got their studs who have been waiting, that's the thing. The Jets have been waiting for Aaron Rodgers to play for over a year. They finally got it, and they still got their butts kicked. Still did. Yeah, there was that one play where he got Leonard Floyd offsides and threw the touchdown behind George Odom and Jair Brown. But, like, that's Aaron Rodgers going to do that. That's just what he's done his whole career. But I can tell you this, Rodgers didn't have a fun game out there. And a lot of that was because of the pressure and just how uncomfortable things were. The 49ers, they went out and did it. And remember, everybody was so worried about the run defense. 31 yards rushing halfway through the fourth quarter.
68 yards total.
Yeah. And almost all that came on that drive without Aaron Rodgers.
There it is.
So I'm not concerned.
I'm not concerned. You know, it was the run defense and the offensive line. I think those are the two things that most people were concerned with. And those are the two things that outperformed. Like, they went out there and got the job done. And so, look, I know it's the first game. It's all good. The Niners just got to be ready to get back to it, get on the road, get to Minnesota, and get the job done. A place where they haven't won in a very, very, very long time. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not sitting here worried about Minnesota Vikings one bit. I know Sam Darnold had a great game against the Giants. I just want to make sure I make myself clear. It was against the Giants. They're going to be facing the juggernaut defense early in the season. And this 49ers defense look like they are ready to tee off. And you talked about pressure on Aaron Rodgers. They pressured Aaron Rodgers, right? They pressured Rodgers 11 times, right? But here's the thing. What do you think they're going to do to Sam Darnold? And I tell you what, John, you don't even have to answer that, because tomorrow you're going to talk about the game plan on the Wayne Breezy Show. So I'm excited to see how you prepare for the Minnesota Vikings.
We got a lot of tape to break down today, which I'm so pumped about. I'm very, very excited. What's up? Look at this. We got the godfather of the house, Nicholas. What's up, man? Appreciate you, brother. He says, what's up, bros? On our way to the San Francisco airport. What a great trip and weekend. There's nothing like seeing it live with the people you love. That's awesome. I had a wonderful opportunity to hang out with him and his family this weekend, which was so cool. Man, appreciate you, Para. You guys are the best. And it was such a cool weekend. You know, I got to say this. Maybe one of the coolest atmospheres that I've experienced at Levi's. It felt like it was level 10. I was curious to see how I was going to respond. Everybody was in their seats early, way before kickoff. There were several different moments. The Frank Gore halftime speech was awesome. The Ricky Pearsall moment, where I don't know if this was on the broadcast or not, where they had the first responders, the police officer and the nurse that were there. He gave them kind of autographed jerseys, hugged them on the field. That was epic. There were just so many moments in the game where it was like, man, this feels like playoff type atmosphere in the stadium. It was rocking, man. It was loud.
That's what's up. Loud.
And Levi's is not known for that.
We didn't get to see on the TV feed all the stuff that you guys got, but I did have my YouTube links. I was watching the halftime stuff. So yeah, like I was there, but I wasn't there. Like, you know what I mean?
I love it, man. I love it. So it's going to be fun. Now, for those of you, again, we're focusing a lot on next week, and I'm super excited about that. If you are going to the Minnesota game, you got to be kidding me. You're going to come party with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, baby. We're going to be Crave Rooftop downtown, 825 Hennepin, from 2 to 6 p.m. on Saturday. It's my birthday, September 14th. Come out, party with us, have a good time. We're going to have it. I can't freaking wait. And then, of course, we've got our tailgate. It's an early kickoff, so we'll be out there bright and early, serving up all kinds of good food, unlimited drinks, and probably one of my favorite stadiums. I love the Vikings Stadium. That's a cool spot. They got the skull chant. If you've never experienced that, pretty, pretty cool. But we got to go shut them and Sam Darnold up. Country Music says Darnold's got some intel on us, 100%.
He definitely does.
Oh, it's going to be fun. But Wayne, real quick, I would be remiss. We've got to talk about two things, and I was going to let it pass, but Coach Cruz came in. Michigan Moody, we got to talk about my Longhorns just briefly. I just want to say.
Oh, they whipped my teams. They beat the snot out of my – listen, Michigan, first of all, I'm accepting the fact that Michigan is done, so it's cool. I'm cool with it. And they played the best team in college, and they got waxed. And that's cool. You know, but it's hard to win when you don't have a quarterback. It's hard to compete, when you don't have a quarterback. So if you guys know, I'm a Michigan fan, and I have zero problems talking trash about my Michigan Wolverines or anybody. But they sucked. They sucked. And so they need to figure that out. So I'm glad. Thank you for the beatdown. I receive it. But let's talk about Moody, though. Beast. Because that's a Michigan man that Beast. Decided to say, hey, you know, don't let what you saw my rookie season fool you. That's what I was trying to get everybody to understand, man. It's like this kid has got it. He's just got to get it out of his own head. Even George Kittle said it was really good to see him not in his own head. Like, that's what it is. That's all it ever is. And so it was good to see him get out there. He had a couple of long ones. You could tell Kyle Shanahan's fully trusting him. And I lost three football leagues because somebody had Jake Moody as their kicker.
Dude, it went off. I got so many like, oh, the kicker got me 30 points. That's what it is. I mean, that's the way it goes. So I want to say real quick, just shout out Jay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Josh. executive producer of the show. Happy birthday to you as well. My birthday's this week. It's September, man. All our parents were crazy during New Year's. That's why all this going on. That's just what it is. That's okay. But yeah, Jake Moody, 6 for 6 plus the 2 extra points. One of them even he called the bank shot from, you know, he's that guy, the over the head shooter bank shot at the YMCA. He hit one of those, which was cool. If you're going to be that consistent with it, man, that's huge, because 2 plus 50-yard kicks, that's mm-hmm. huge.
And that's so huge. That's that. A feel. That's a woo. Because if you missed, they got good field position, you know. Yeah. But you got to talk about the trust from Kyle Shanahan. And you got to look at it. You know how I'm looking at it? I'm looking at it like this. There's going to be some games where you're going to need your kicker to win the goddamn game, right? Your kicker's just going to have to come out and, hey, it's a game. Offensive isn't flowing. But that one particular drive, the offense, Brock Purdy gets his team into what it needs to be as a game-winning decision. Now, the difference to me is that they didn't call timeout to ice him. I still would like to see the icing and him making the kick after the icing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that was different. We had a comfortable lead. He was kicking him. So I would still like to see that, but Moody I trust, man. He's money.
Dude, he's awesome. And like I also thought the kickoffs were great. I loved all the touchbacks. There were one kick where he kind of didn't hit it square, but we stopped him before the 30. So I was cool with that too. Not mad at that. So whenever you can get good play from your special teams like that, and on top of that, you punted the ball one time, I think. Like that was it.
Yeah, we didn't see Money Mitch like this. The whole game. That's crazy, yeah. Right? That's great. That's great news.
Now, right here, we've got a question. When was the last time we won at Minnesota?
Oh, dude, it was like a long time ago. Now. But we'll pull it up. It was a long time ago.
Jeez. I'm still scrolling. Here we go. 1992.
Yeah, I said long.
Is what I'm looking at. Let me pull up the... Here we go. Y'all want some fun names? It was Steve Young versus Rich Gannon.
I remember Rich Gannon.
Amp Lee led us in rushing.
Number 22, Amp Lee.
And Roger Craig was playing for the Vikings. Man, that was just like an old hats team. We had Rice, Brent Jones, John Taylor, Rathman. That's what's up, man. Whew. Man, that's way back. Way back. That's a long time. I was 9 years old.
And the crazy thing is, we played there last year, and it looked like we could win. But a couple of mistakes. That's all it took.
We cleaned it up. Hopefully,
32 years.
Woo. That's a long time, man. We got a lot of pain and retribution. In the words of Clubber Lang, what do you predict this weekend, 49ers fans, for Sam Darnold?
Pain. I can't get my accent out, but yeah, pain. All right, that. So like it's going to be. Great game, but the Niners just need to go out there and take care of business. And I think they're in a different trajectory. And I know it's early. I know we might not be without Christian McCaffrey for a little bit, but we'll see what happens. Kyle Shanahan didn't rule him out. He said we'll ask him about the pain, and see how it is. But the good news is the Niners have a Jordan Mason, and they have a way of responding if McCaffrey doesn't play. And let's just hope Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy are just more on the same page come week 2. All right, which I believe that they will be. So you just got to give them a couple of weeks to get into rhythm, to get in sync with each other. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out for the greater good, everybody.
And that's the thing. Work whenever you, as a coach, the best is when you win a game and you have things to work on. The worst is whenever you lose a game and you're just like,
you're going crazy, stir crazy. Yeah.
And so like whenever you win, plus you still get some of these teaching coachable moments and some of those issues to kind of correct after a win like that, that's huge. So super excited. 1-0 versus 1-0. That's what we want. Niners just like the Grim Reaper slashing down these teams' hopes. And who better to do that to than Sam Darnold? Who was with us. And we're going to talk about that all day tomorrow. So, Wayne, this has been a blast. I got to go do some more film work. Wayne's got me working. That's what it's going to be. So, Wayne, take us out of here. Let's wrap this show up. And we'll be back on Wayne's channel only tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Faithful, we are 1-0. Let's make it 2-0. Get your energy together. We packing up our bags. We headed to Minnesota, and we bought the D-Viking, the Skull Gang. Faithful to the Bay all day. Right here. Rush.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.